Brothers and sisters, today our scripture comes to us from the book of Jeremiah. I'll be reading today from Jeremiah chapter 31. I'm going to begin with verse 31 and read down to the verse 34. If you have your Bibles this morning, you're more than welcome to follow along with me. And if you don't, you're welcome to listen as we read from the prophet Jeremiah. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and with the people of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness, and I will remember their sins no more. May the Lord add a blessing to both the hearing and the reading of His holy word, and let us pray together. Gracious God, we are so thankful as always for the opportunity to gather together as a community of faith. We're thankful, Lord, for the way that your Holy Spirit has worked through our gathering thus far. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to work among us. Lord, I pray that for the next few minutes that I might decrease in this place in order that Jesus Christ might increase. And I pray, Lord, that my words would be your words. And God, as always, we humbly ask that you would open our ears, open our minds. Most of all, dear God, open our hearts, so that the words that you have for us today might be more for us than simply more information. But we pray, Lord, that we might find your words today transforming, that they might dig deeply within us, that they might transform us from the inside out. And all this, gracious God, we ask in the name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we have prayed together, saying, Amen. Back in 1966, my paternal grandfather had a massive heart attack. They took him to Vanderbilt Hospital. He lay there for 3 days. Back in 1966, there was really nothing at all that could be done except make him comfortable, and after 3 days, he died. I've often thought, what would it have been like if my grandfather had lived long enough to have his heart attack now? Because it's amazing what medical science can do with the heart, isn't it? Some of you in this room have experienced stents, bypass surgery, all sorts of things to heal your heart. Years ago when I worked for Kroger, there was a customer who came in every week who told me one week as I was checking him out, he said, "You know, Mike," he said, "I'm about to have a heart transplant." And this would have been in the early to mid-80s. And I said, "Really?" And he said, "Yes." And he went in the hospital. He was in the hospital for a couple of months. He had this heart transplant. And I was surprised some 6, 7, 8 months later to see him walking, albeit with a cane, and very slowly to walk into the store and be checked out again by me. You know, he really had gotten rid of his old heart, and he'd gotten a new heart instead. It's fascinating to me, this idea that we can have a new heart, a different heart, that God might give us something new. And it must have been really startling to the people that would have heard this message from the prophet Jeremiah. It must have startled them, the idea that God would write a new covenant for them. Because, as you already know, the covenant that the people of Israel had was a covenant that came through the Exodus from the time that Moses went to the mountain of Sinai and the laws were written on stone tablets. Of course, it didn't matter that over the years, one time after another, the Israelites broke the covenant. They believed that God had led them to the promised land. They believed that God was the one true God, and they believed that God would always be with them. This worked very well until Israel and Judah, Israel being the northern kingdom, Judah being the southern kingdom, until a stronger kingdom, Babylon, run by a man that you may be familiar with, King Nebuchadnezzar was the king of Babylon, overruns Israel and then Judah. They take the leaders of Israel and Judah into captivity and they take them back to Babylon. And all of a sudden, the land that the Israelites were promised by God, the promised land, the covenant they had that God would always be their God, that God would always protect them, that God would always take care of them, that covenant seemed null and void. It seemed like it didn't mean a thing. And they were left wondering, where was God? What happened? Why did God break his covenant with them? The prophet Jeremiah comes to be a prophet to the Israelites while they're in exile, some 600 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. Jeremiah, if you know anything about him, is known as the weeping prophet because Jeremiah basically tells people all the time, as prophets do, you should repent or this is going to happen. And then he says, well, you should have repented and now this is what's happening to you. It's your fault. It's your fault that all this happened, Jeremiah says. As you might imagine, this didn't make Jeremiah very popular. Nobody wants to hear, I told you so, amen. Particularly not people who are living in the promised land that is now occupied by Babylon, a foreign power. They really don't want to hear from Jeremiah. And so Jeremiah, as he prophesies to the people, is not just a prophet of doom and gloom. Jeremiah also is a prophet of hope. One of the things that God tells Jeremiah to do that he does to indicate and give the people some hope is Jeremiah buys some land in Israel. Israel that is now really Babylon for all intents and purposes. And Jeremiah buys this land to remind the people that with God there's always hope. With God there's always hope. With God there's always hope. And then Jeremiah says the words I read to you this morning. There's going to come a day where I'm not going to write laws on stone tablets anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Instead, I'm going to write them on your hearts. And everyone, from the least to the greatest, will know that I am God. I wonder how the people of Israel heard this message of hope. I wonder if they were stunned by Jeremiah saying, there's going to be a new covenant. Because they put a lot of stock in the old covenant, or at least they did until Babylon came in and took over. And brothers and sisters, sometimes for us, life seems so difficult and so hard and so full of misery and problems that we too want to say, where are you, God? And what in the world are you doing? This morning, as she does every Sunday, Mary Noble shared a lot of prayer concerns with you. But brothers and sisters, what she and I know and what some of you probably know, that's the tip of the iceberg. Sometimes I think that we should spend the entire worship service in prayer because there are so many hurts, so many problems. And brothers and sisters, it's not just with individuals. It's with our church, it's with our country, and it's with our world. And we too wonder sometimes, where is our hope? Where is our hope? And where do we find hope? And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, tells us through the Israelites where we might find hope. Jeremiah says, people, God is not through with you yet. God is not through with us yet. And someday there's going to be a new covenant. It's going to be a covenant that's not written on stone tablets. Instead, it's going to be written on your hearts. You're going to get a new heart. And when you get this new heart, you will know me. You will know me. And I will know you. And we will have a relationship. And it will be based on the fact that we know each other one day. One day. And you know, I think about those two words, one day. One day. One day, Israel and Judah will be restored. And you will once again be in control of your own destiny. One day, you will be able to build homes again in your homeland. One day, you will be able to work again. One day, the addiction that plagues you will be gone. One day, the grief that overwhelms you will subside and you will laugh and smile again. One day, the tough times that you find yourselves in now will be over. They'll be done. And you'll know that God is with you. One day, there will be hope. And one day, what we say as Christians is that we will be in the kingdom of God with our Lord Jesus at the head of the table, and things will be set right for good. One day. You know, I imagine that some of the people of Israel heard the words of Jeremiah and they said, yeah, right. Like God's going to bring us our land back. Like God is stronger than Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. Like God really could do that. And we don't blame the Israelites, do we? Because sometimes we do the same thing. God, you can't take care of this situation. God, you can't heal this. God, this is never going to change. God, things are always going to be the same, and nothing can change that. And into this comes the weeping prophet, Jeremiah, who says, No, God says there's going to come a day, one day, when hope will be restored, when things will turn around, when once again you'll be able to say, God is with us, God loves us, and it won't be because you read it on some tablets. It'll be because you know in your hearts. You know in the very depth of your being that God is with you that you are with God and that God loves you. What we know about this is, especially after the last 7 or 8 weeks that we were studying revival in the life of John Wesley, is that as Methodists, what we would call that is grace, wouldn't we? Isn't that grace? When God shows up, unannounced, when we think the last page has been written, the last note has been sung, that things are over, we would call that grace, wouldn't we? Yes. I believe, brothers and sisters, that's exactly what we would call that. We would call that grace. And the good news today, the really good news, is that we can trust God and know that God is with us no matter what our situation is. No matter what we're facing, no matter how difficult or impossible it seems, no matter when we look around and rather than see the kingdom of Israel, we see the kingdom of Babylon. We don't look around and we don't see God anywhere. Instead, we see Nebuchadnezzar everywhere. And so much so that we want to cry out and give up and say, we're done. But brothers and sisters, we must never, ever, ever forget that even when times are at their darkest, even when we think God is the furthest from us, God always, always wants to touch our hearts and wants to write upon our hearts how much He loves us and how much He is there for us. If we will listen, if we will welcome it. Because sometimes we are as broken as the people of Israel were, and we know it's our fault that we find ourselves where we are. But yet God, in His infinite mercy, in His infinite love, in His unyielding grace, reaches out to us and says, don't worry, don't fret, don't get discouraged. Indeed, what you need to be doing is you need to be buying land in the new place. You need to buy you some land in the new place because things are going to change. And I am the one, says the Lord, that's going to change them. I think, brothers and sisters, what we have to ask ourselves is, do we believe in God enough to trust God's promises, to trust that the new covenant will come, to trust that the new heart will be with us, to trust that even when we can't see the evidence of it, God is always with us and God is always working. Are we willing to trust and to believe that one day, maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, maybe not 6 months from now or a year from now, but one day, things will be different. Because God wants us to live in the new covenant. God wants to give us a new heart. God wants to forgive us of our sins, and God wants us to live in a new way, in a new land. Brothers and sisters, will you look and believe and hope in one day? In one day. Because one day, things are going to be different. That's the promise. One day, things are going to be healed and restored and brought to where they need to be. One day. One day. Amen.